Hey crew, hike it into Hooters for all the games this season, where our wings always win. World famous since 1983, with over 14 sauces and rubs to choose. Or try one of our football specials, like 10 buffalo shrimp or 3 tenders, both served with fries for a special price. Wash it down with a Big Daddy mug of Budweiser, Bud Light, or Mick Ultra. During the games, every Tampa Bay area location will be giving away signed Bucks footballs. Hooters, official partner of the Buccaneers. Visit originalhooters.com for more details.
Point the finger at yourself. Recording this on Friday, December 26th, 11 a.m. This is the penultimate of Season 10 episode of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. We'll do one more next week to wrap it up. We will not be previewing anything in Week 18. We laugh at those of you who are in leagues that continue to base a fantasy championship on so many games that lack integrity in week 18. We stay focused on week 17 now, even though my leagues all ended in week 16, as we look ahead to the slate on Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. Thank you for listening. Hope you had a Merry Christmas. OriginalHooters.com is the presenting sponsor and online destination for the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast, with support from Brandon Legal Group, your full-service law firm servicing the greater Tampa Bay area. To find out what full service means when you are in need of legal assistance, log on to BrandonLegalGroup.com to request a free consultation, or you can call for the same purpose, 813-902-3576. Quick update. I am listed as probable. Turn the corner shortly after the last podcast where you heard me coughing and clearing my throat. There still might be a little bit of that, not 100%. That's generally my holiday for some reason. Last year, I skipped over last year, did not deal with being sick, dealt with some other stuff, but we all have our own stuff. So I'll do my best for you today. Yes, you can point the finger at yourself. Don't, after the fact of being eliminated in the fantasy playoffs, had someone in one of my leagues do this last week. Well, of course I'm not sitting him, and he wasn't productive. Meanwhile, he had a player on his bench at the same position who was, and available options on waivers that were also more productive. As has been a common theme this year, and often on this podcast this time of year, you can bench a big name if you have enough info, enough belief to know that they are not going to produce for you the draft capital that you put in on them months ago, or what they were doing just a few weeks ago or a month or so ago. And you have a better option, and the data says, and your gut says, it's a better option. Make the change. This is it. You're not going to play fantasy football again for another year. Make the change. We're going to start right at the top of the board with someone in the crosshairs, and that's Josh Allen. Josh Allen had a very disappointing fantasy performance in week 16 in a bad matchup against the Browns defense on the road. It was Josh Allen's worst game of the entire year. But you had to look at that and see there was a possibility that that could happen. The exact numbers, you don't know. But you couldn't look at that game and say, yeah, it's going to be one of his best, like it was against Baltimore week 1, Tampa Bay week 11, Cincinnati week 14. No. Against Houston, a similarly difficult matchup 4 weeks before, I showed Allen barely in double-digit fantasy points. Road game against bad defense. This was the same. Road game, tough defense. Road game against a tough defense. And Allen disappointed. So you have owners saying, well, I'm not going to bench Josh Allen. And I'm even acknowledging in my scoring settings, yeah, he's number one in total points for the year. That doesn't mean he's going to be number one in total points for this week. And there weren't better options out there last week to play, maybe sitting on your bench, but possibly on waivers. So fast forward to this week. You're playing for a fantasy championship. You have Josh Allen. He is at home. That's nice. It's a Sunday late afternoon game. Three teams have already played, and then the Saturday games will have been played. So if you're going to do something else, you kind of needed to get out in front of it. He's going up against the Eagle defense. That's not a great matchup. Like the Texans, like the Browns. Eagles do have something to play for in this game. The game has integrity. Yes, the Bills do too. But adding to this conversation is Allen's foot injury. Of course we expect him to play. But will it limit his ability to run the ball? To get you rushing touchdowns? To scramble for first downs, to move the pocket and make big plays. Via rotowire.com, report yesterday at 2:26 p.m. Allen listed as limited on Thursday practice estimate, limited in Wednesday's walkthrough. It remains to be seen if he ends up listed as questionable or fully cleared to face 10-5 Philadelphia. Dealing with soreness in his right foot. Could there be a setback in the 48 hours leading up to the game? I fully expect Allen to play. But are you getting the Josh Allen who put up all those points against the Ravens and the Bucks, or are you getting the Josh Allen who barely cleared double digits against the Texans and didn't do it against the Browns? Don't point the finger at the schedule. Get out in front of it. Allen may not be the right play for you at quarterback this week. Deal with it. Don't dismiss it. Just as Jonathan Taylor, and in my scoring settings, Allen's one overall, and this is up to the minute, so it even includes Dax numbers from yesterday, Dax number two. Jonathan Taylor is five. But has Jonathan Taylor been the right player in your fantasy playoffs? Since week 10, you haven't gotten a big game out of him. Week 11 was a bye. Then games with Daniel Jones. Lost to Kansas City, lost to Texans, game where Daniel Jones got hurt once the Jags were up, what, two, three scores? Then at Seattle, then San Francisco, then Jacksonville. Granted, these are not good matchups for Taylor, but if you're just pointing the finger and saying, well, yeah, it was a bad matchup, it's not my fault, you can make the change. there were other guys either on your bench or potentially, depending on how your league is structured on waivers, who may have been a better option to give you the big game. The big game from a player or two, more and more, is what wins you games in fantasy football. When the floor falls through, it sucks. It really does, especially when it's an established player. But that becomes less impactful when you have the guy go off. When you have the player that puts up the huge number, it's like John Madden. And I don't know how I feel about that trailer. We're what? Thanksgiving 2026, Nick Cage playing John Madden. It kind of looks right, but it just feels weird. Well, I'll watch. Madden always said winning is a good deodorant. Having one guy in your starting lineup put up a huge number is a great deodorant. The rest of your team, almost all of them, can stink. Or one or two signature players. And you write that off, and you're like, well, I still won. So-and-so put up huge numbers. Taylor hasn't done it since week 10. He's not going to do it against Jacksonville. He's not. Is a modest, low, double-digit number okay for you? Or do you need someone to play at the running back position or a position where you can flex a running back that might put up the big number? So yes, very early in this podcast, with a significant percentage of those of you who are alive playing for a fantasy championship this week, right out of the gate, I'm saying it's okay to consider benching Josh Allen this week. It's okay to consider benching Jonathan Taylor this week. There's enough data there on both of them. With Taylor going up against the Jaguars, maybe the best run defense in the National Football League. Jags playing for a division crown. To not play these guys, if you're looking for the best option to put up the most points, what's on your bench? What is on waivers? I tell you what might be on waivers, speaking of the Jags, Trevor Lawrence, as we broadcast, he is still available in 21% of Yahoo leagues. Why? His last two games, I show him over 80 points combined. Yes, one was against the Jets, but one was against Denver. Now he gets the Colts, shredded by the Niners, off a short week. Trevor would be one of those you would consider if you have a quarterback like Josh Allen this week that you're hesitant on, because you want to get big weeks from your players. That's what you're looking for, not a floor. And I'm the one who has said on this podcast for years, you're looking for a player to give you, if everyone in your lineup gives you double digits, you got a better than average chance to win. That still is the case. I'm not sure Jonathan Taylor is going to give you double digits. I don't think he's going to do it in yardage. He's almost going to have to score. I don't know. Will Josh Allen give you double digits? Probably, but Trevor Lawrence is averaging, in my scoring settings, 40 points per game the last two. And the last time the Jags played the Colts, obviously a lot of things went their way. And in my scoring settings, Trevor put up nearly 20. and that was his lowest production of the last 4 weeks. Available in 21% of leagues. Trevor Lawrence. Caleb Williams is available in 19% of leagues. And I show him as overall 10 in my leagues. It's not, he hasn't had a huge game since week 9 against the Bengals. But he's only had a game below in my scoring settings. Well, just, we'll give you the last 5. Week 12 against the Steelers. 21.66 fantasy points. And I make it harder from a yardage standpoint than most standard components. A little bit harder. Against the Eagles, he didn't reach double digits. There you go with the Josh Allen argument. Against the Packers, just under 15 points. Against the Browns, put up nearly 20. Against the Packers last week, put up 25. Available in 19% of leagues. Bears are the Sunday night game at the Niners. Start buying into what's going on with Jacksonville and Chicago here at the end. They're going to the playoffs. They're good teams. I know traditionally they're not. But they have players that can help you. They're playing meaningful games. They're riding a wave of enthusiasm. They're winning close games. The formula works. Both first-year head coaches, you've heard this before from me on the Todd Wright Toddcast, who work with the quarterbacks, offensively game plan, actively are involved, putting points on the board offensively. Yeah. That's the formula. So I've given you a quarterback you might not trust, a big running back you might not trust. Let me see if I can give you a big-time wide receiver you might not trust, just to kind of balance it out. Pickens has already played on Christmas Day. He was What is a wide receiver that falls into the... Boy, is Trey McBride really going up against the Bengals? Wow. What a fantasy feast for those of you that own McBride. And, you know, a couple of things this year, mid-season, that may contribute to people winning fantasy championships. One, we've talked a lot about Chase Brown. Even Vladimir in the League of Bulgarians emailed me and said, Todd, what do I do with Chase Brown? He's just a huge disappointment. And I said, well, the volume's still there. Until the volume isn't there, you got to keep playing him because he's going to get opportunities. And then the Bengals trade for Joe Flacco, and suddenly Chase Brown was even better than you imagined from a fantasy standpoint. I argued against Trey McBride because he didn't score. And you want players who score touchdowns. And the data backed it up. He was, once he reached 250 career receptions, and I think this was all players, not just tight ends, he had the fewest touchdowns at the time he reached 250 receptions of anyone with 250 receptions. And then Jacoby came in, and everything changed. And suddenly, Trey McBride was scoring touchdowns. This might even be, dare we say, the reason Kyler Murray will never play quarterback in Arizona again. it's as simple as, Kyler, why didn't you throw to Trey McBride in the end zone? Jacoby did. It works. Nice seeing you. So McBride gets the smash spot against the Bengals, who have bled fantasy points to opposing tight ends all year long. A wide receiver I can make an argument against. Do I do it on Tet? Funny, McMillan and Waddle are back-to-back in my scoring settings at overall 68 and 69. I'm going to scroll down a little bit more. Okay, I found one. At overall number 77, and this came up actually in an email from a gentleman from Washington, D.C. earlier this week that I responded to via email. Hang on, I need a little Powerade. So rather than nitpick and try to make a case against playing McMillan against the Seahawks, which isn't great, or Waddle, as I did in the email, I won against Ibuka of the Bucks. Now, his overall numbers for the year still say you play him. But with what's going on, ironically, his overall numbers just one slot in front of DK Metcalf and the suspension stands. Excuse me. Much like Jonathan Taylor, Ibuka hasn't been the same since week 10. And week 10 was his only game of real significance since week 5. Ibuka's first 5 games were offensive rookie of the year stuff. I showed him with 19.6, 8.9, 8.5, 20.1, 25.3. And then the drop-off. Only one game of more than 6.4 fantasy points in my scoring settings, standard, yardage-based. And that was New England at 17.5. Going up against a Dolphin defense that this just in. They still play hard. Granted, Burrow shredded them. Baker's not Burrow. The Bucs are playing like a team that doesn't want to play. Right now, even with Quinn Ewers, the 28th attempt to replace Dan Marino in Miami to win a playoff game. Actually, Fiedler did win one. That Dolphin team doesn't look much, it really doesn't look inferior to the Bucs. Would I give the Bucs the edge at quarterback? Sure. It didn't buy much with the way Mayfield has played. So if Mayfield is a problem, why do you think suddenly Ibuka will put up a big number? So as I said to the gentleman in the email, he had other options, and I said, Quentin Johnston's a better option than Ibuka. First of all, Ibuka had fewer snaps than McMillan. I don't think Baker's thrown multiple TDs in over a month. So if he throws his one, what are your chances Ibuka's going to catch it? Unlike the first month of the season, when he was the go-to guy in the red zone with, instead of Mike Evans. Now Evans is back. He's acting kind of like the one guy who cares because Evans might be running out of football games to play. This isn't the spot to play Ibuka, where you just say, well, I got a plan. No, you don't. Not when there are other wide receivers, and we'll try to find you one, sitting on waivers that you might be able to grab, or someone on your bench, as was the case with the gentleman who emailed from DC with QJ. Let's go to percent rostered, position, wide receiver, availability. Let's just do all available. And let's do stats for the last 4 weeks. All right. Let's go fantasy points and see who might be sitting out there that could do something better if they're not on the bench and you have a decision to make on, we're picking on Ibuka here. Tesla's already played. The kid in Dallas has already played. Addison's already played. Okay. Coker. Not a great matchup against the Seahawks, but Carolina is scoring points. Bryce Young is putting up fantasy points. There's another one of these late season quarterbacks that's been sitting out there on waivers who's doing very well. Yes, McMillan is getting some of that action, but not all of it. Coker's getting some of it. Is it a given? Absolutely not. But that's someone in the mix. Cooper Kupp. He had a key catch in the Seahawk comeback against the Rams. There just doesn't seem to be a big game there. We're looking for someone who can put up a big game. So how about Kyle Williams of the Patriots? Double-digit points last week against the Ravens. Matchup is good against the Jets. They average a lot of yards per completion. Williams got, let's see, 28-74. A third of the snaps, a little more, in the win over the Ravens. Only 46 yards, but he caught a touchdown. And he's making big chunk plays. When it breaks down and May feels the need to, okay, who's deep? And May slides. May's looking for Kyle Williams. And he's got good hands. All three of Williams' scores have been 30-plus yarders. First Patriot to do that since Chris Hogan in 2016. So, yeah, it may not be a big workload, but he's a big play guy. You know, there's a lot of Chiefs fans this year who are like, why didn't Tyquan Thornton play more? Because every time Mahomes looked for him, it was down the field. You want that explosive play element. And Williams is giving Drake May that in a good matchup, in a game the Patriots got to have to stay ahead of the Bills to win the AFC East. Just that one play might be enough. You're more likely to get it from Williams than you are from Ibuka, I'll tell you that. All right, that's enough from me for now. You can email me over the weekend Remember Sunday morning? No, no, no. I have golf to play now that all my leagues I commission are done as of week 16. So if you have a decision on a player or a second opinion you need, you can email me on Saturday. You can even email me on Sunday evening if it involves the Monday night game as your last game to win or lose a fantasy championship. That's fine. Wright.Todd@yahoo.com, Wright.Todd@yahoo.com. Good luck. The Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast is presented by Hooters.